Well, as we come to the end of 2021, I've put a lot of prayer and thought into this message today. Because over the last several weeks, I've heard many people talk about what a year this has been. And really, the last 2 years, right? Because we've been through a lot since March of 2020. And we've experienced things that we've never experienced in our lifetimes. We face struggles and heartache that have been difficult and challenging at times to navigate through. And these times have reminded us how important it is that we cling to the Lord. He is our strength. He is the one that we need to be leaning on. And it's important that we trust in God through these times. And so as I prayed about what I should share as 2021 comes to an end, amen, the Lord led me to someone who knew suffering probably better than anyone. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to the book of Job. Now, Job is an interesting book here in the Bible. But we're going to do our best to let it encourage us and to help us as we continue to learn how to trust in God through the difficult times. And so if you have your Bible, you can follow along with me as I read the first chapter of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 22. This is what it says. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your power. But on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabines attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the heavens and burnt up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe, shaved his head, then fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. And that wraps up the chapter there. Whew, what a story, huh? In this first chapter of Job, if that wasn't bad enough, in Job chapter 2, Satan approaches God again and says, "Okay, so Job's remained faithful so far. But if you brought physical pain upon his body, he would surely break then." And so God allows Satan to have his way with Job as long as he spares his life. And so he ends up with these painful sores and boils all over his body. And at the end of Job chapter 2, in verses 9 and 10, it says this: "His wife said to him, 'Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die.' He replied, 'You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?' In all this, Job did not sin in what he said." Now there's some pretty crazy stuff that happens here in the book of Job. And to be honest, it's one of those stories that's hard to fully wrap our heads around. As a pastor, I get asked all sorts of questions, especially questions about stories and scriptures in the Bible. And one of the questions that I get asked probably more than any other question is, why would God allow His people to suffer? Now, thankfully, the Bible isn't afraid of these kinds of questions. And our story this morning about Job deals with this very question. And it's hard to imagine anyone experiencing as much heartache, as much suffering as Job did here in these scriptures. Many people, whether they're followers of Jesus or not, are familiar with this story of Job. And for some, it may be stories like Job's that actually keep people from putting their trust in God. But there's a lot to be learned from this story when it comes to trusting in God, especially when we're experiencing suffering and difficulties in our lives. We see here that despite the suffering that Job experienced, he was a man of faith who continued to trust in God. And so this morning I want to explore this idea of trusting God even in the midst of pain and suffering. Well, what is it that we can learn from Job here in these scriptures? And maybe more importantly, what is it that we can learn about God Himself in these scriptures? And so I want to actually start by looking at what trusting God in the midst of suffering, what it doesn't do. And you'll understand what I mean here as I share my first point, which is this: trusting God in the midst of suffering doesn't take away the pain. We see here in this story that Job was nearly crushed by the pain of suffering. In Job 1:20 it says, he tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground when he heard that his children had died. And in Job 2:7 it says, his physical ailments were so painful, he used broken pottery to try to scrape off his scars. The thought of that just makes me cringe when I read it. And yet in the midst of such pain and suffering, Job makes some of the greatest statements of faith ever heard. In Job 1:21, he says the famous scripture, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." He said these words, "May the name of the Lord be praised." After he tore his robe, after he found out that his kids had died. And in Job 2:10 he says, "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? How is it that a man can have such faith and trust in the Lord and still experience such great pain?" I think it's because Job understood the reality of living in a fallen world. And he's understood the reality of its pain. I want to share a little story with you this morning. It says this, a preaching professor at Harvard University tells the story of the year his five-year-old son was working on an art project in his kindergarten class. It was made of plaster and it resembled nothing in particular, but with some paint, some sparkles, and time in a kiln, it was ready to be wrapped as a gift. He wrapped it himself, and he was filled with excitement. It would be a gift for his father, one that was 3 months in the making. Early in December, when the child could hardly contain the secret, the last day of school finally came. All the parents arrived for the big Christmas play, and when the students left for home, they were finally allowed to take their ceramic presents with them. The professor's son grabbed his gift, ran towards his parents, then tripped and fell to the floor. His gift went airborne, and when it landed on the cafeteria floor, the shattering sound stopped all conversations. You could hear a pin drop as everyone around considered the magnitude of what just happened. For a five-year-old, there had never been a more expensive gift. He slouched down on the floor next to his broken gift and began to cry. Both parents rushed to their son, but the father was uncomfortable in the moment. People were watching. His son was crying, and so he patted the boy on his head and said, "Son, it's okay. It doesn't matter." His wife glared at this great Harvard professor. "Oh, yes, it does," she said to both of her men. "Oh, yes, it does matter." She cradled her son in her arms, rocked him back and forth, and cried right there with him. Now, I'll finish that story a little bit later, but it reminds us that pain is real for all of us. We all feel pain in different ways, over different things. Regardless of how young or old we may be, we experience pain. And we can't just wish the pain away simply because people are looking at us or maybe we're a little uncomfortable. You see, as we faithfully put our trust in the Lord, it doesn't mean we won't experience hurt or pain. It just means that we trust God will be there to cradle us in His arms and to comfort us through that pain. Now, the next thing I think that we can learn from Job here is this: trusting God in the midst of suffering doesn't mean we won't have questions. In the book of Job, two chapters of great faith are followed immediately by 35 chapters of questions. Both Job and Job's friends question what had happened to Job. Why did this happen? And the truth is, when you look through the Bible, Job wasn't the only one. Job's friends weren't the only ones that questioned God. Many people throughout the Scriptures have questioned what God was doing. David, King David, spent years wrestling with questions of his own, especially when he was on the run hiding from Saul. In Psalm 13, 1 and 2, David cries out to God saying, "How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" David was a man of faith who put his trust in God. But it didn't mean that he didn't have questions. And even Jesus himself asked why when he was up on the cross. In Mark 15:34, Jesus on the cross cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So even Jesus asked why. Now, I actually believe that Jesus knew. He knew that God could not be in the presence of sin, and as he took on the sins of all humanity, God had to turn away for that brief moment. But I believe the reason Jesus asked the question was really for us. For us to understand that it's okay for us to ask why. It's okay for us to have questions. Even though we trust in God, even though we put our lives in His hands, there are going to be times in our lives where we don't understand why things happen the way they do. Why are we dealing with COVID in our world right now? Why have these past years been so difficult? Why have we experienced this loss? Why have we experienced this? Whatever it may be for each of us, the fact is we're going to experience times where we don't understand why. And here in these scriptures, Job had no idea why he found himself in the middle of this pain and suffering. And it's a reminder that just because we trust God, it doesn't mean we won't have questions. And I think it's important that we know God is okay with our questions. But it's also important that we know that He won't always answer those questions. And that's because sometimes His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And there are many things that are way beyond our understanding. And the thing is, we have to be okay with that. That's part of faith, and we have to continue to trust in Him, which leads me into my next point, which is this. Trusting God in the midst of suffering doesn't mean God's will makes sense. The book of Job is a very interesting and maybe even a difficult story for us to read. It's one of those books in the Bible that many people wish wasn't in the Bible, right? But it is in the Bible, which means there must be a reason that it's here. And as someone who believes that these stories are real and true, it means that this interaction between God and Satan here in the Scriptures was real. Which brings about all sorts of questions. Because it's interesting to me that God would even entertain this conversation with the devil. But He does. And the subject of their conversation is this man of faith and how he might respond to pain and struggles. And God Himself seems to be okay with this as He sits back and watches this whole situation with Job unravel. Now, if we're honest, the story is a little disturbing to many of us to think that God allowed this to happen to Job. Or to think that God would give the devil the satisfaction of having His way with someone that He loved so dearly. Nothing about this story seems to make sense. And I know to me it doesn't feel right. But perhaps that's part of the story. Because the truth is, suffering doesn't make sense. The book of Job starts off telling us about this amazing man of God who was blameless and upright, who feared God and shunned evil. In essence, he was a man without suffering. This is the type of life all of us would seek to experience. But this expectation of such a life, it soon collides with reality. And the fact that we live in a fallen world is quickly remembered as he experiences these horrible times of loss and suffering. And the reality is we all experience pain and suffering at times in our world. And that suffering, it's no respecter of age, of gender, of race or religion. But in the midst of this suffering and difficulty, we still have the choice to put our trust in God, even if it doesn't make sense. Job's friends here, they kept trying to figure it out. They kept trying to find an answer. They couldn't believe that this suffering wasn't the result of something that Job had done. They figured he must have somehow brought this upon himself. Job's wife even told Job that he should just curse God and die. But even though Job didn't understand why he was experiencing all that he was experiencing, even though the suffering didn't make sense, he continued to trust in God. But how? How could he continue to trust in God through all this pain and suffering? I truly believe it comes down to Job's heart. It was all about his heart, and the same is true, I think, for all of us. Romans 10:9 tells us that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The second part of that scripture is the key. I've talked about this before. I mean, think about it. Anyone can declare anything with their mouth and not really mean it. All of us have lied at times in our lives. All of us has said things that came out of our mouth that maybe weren't true. But to believe in your heart, that is something entirely different. And when we connect with God on a heart level, that is a powerful thing. So powerful that we find ourselves trusting in Him, even when it doesn't make sense. Despite all the reasons Job could have chosen not to trust in God in the midst of the suffering, he chose to do it anyway. And in doing so, he ended up surviving this season of grief, this season of pain and suffering. And his trust in God actually shows us some positive things that we can learn in the midst of suffering. And so we've been looking at the tough realities that I believe are important for us to understand in regards to what trust doesn't do, right? It doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't keep us from having questions. It doesn't mean God's will makes sense. But there are some things that we see from the life of Job here that it does do. And I want to take a few moments to finish with those thoughts this morning. And so the first thing I want to point out about what trusting God does do is this. Number one, trusting God in the midst of suffering does remind us that God is in control. The interesting thing is for us as believers, is that when we choose to trust in God, we're trusting in the one that's allowed these things to happen to us. God is the one who chose to give us free will. And He knew what free will would bring: sin and brokenness to our world. And so we're actually trusting in the one that's allowed these things to happen to us. But the thing we have to realize is that even though things seem out of control to us, God is still in control. When we look at the story of Job, we realize that God is the only one that's in complete control of what's happening. And the thing we have to realize is that choosing to trust God isn't what gives God control. God is always in control. He's always been in control, always will be in control. You see, it just reminds us. Trusting in Him reminds us that He is in control. Think about this conversation between God and Satan. Job would have struggled with this dialogue as much as we do. It wouldn't have made sense to him any more than it does to us. But God knew what the outcome of this conversation would lead to. He knew what it would mean for Job and for those involved. And it's hard for us to understand why He would have allowed things to happen. But at no point was God out of control. And even through the devil's schemes, we see Job remain faithful and continue to trust in God. Now, when we look at this story from our point of view, we have a couple options here. We can choose to reject the God who at times allows suffering in our lives. And many people do that. Many in our world have rejected God. Or we can trust the God of the universe who is ultimately in control over all things, over all evil, over the sufferings and the brokenness of this fallen world. I choose to put my trust in God because I believe that despite the sin and brokenness we find ourselves in, despite the challenges of COVID, despite the political unrest in our world, despite the racial and social injustices we've seen in this country and around the world these past few years, God is still in control. Amen? Oh. Now the next truth we see here from Job is this: trusting God in the middle of suffering does bring us closer to Him. You see, even though Job was unaware of it, he was on his way to the most intimate encounter with God that he'd ever experience. In this season of suffering, he started a journey that would lead to his greatest understanding of who God was. You see, the reality is this road of suffering for many is the path that leads them to a deeper and more personal relationship with God. As I was studying these truths, I couldn't help but think about a story Francis Chan shared with us at one of the Foursquare National Conventions years ago. He had met this pastor who was from Korea, who had been a missionary. And this pastor shared with Francis this story of how him and a group of missionaries from Korea had been captured in Afghanistan by the Taliban. He went on to tell Francis how they had been stripped of everything they had and thrown into this room. And the Taliban shared that they were going to split up each of them and send them into different cells and places. But before they came and hauled them away to the different cells, one of them had somehow snuck a Bible past the guards. And so they tore the Bible into pieces and handed out those pieces to everyone that was there. So each of them would have God's Word to read. And it was a little while later that they were then split up and thrown into these pits. Each one of them in these pits all by themselves. And they had been told that if their demands weren't met by the Korean government, that they would kill each of them one by one. And I know that one or two of them had been killed. But then somehow they were miraculously rescued. And that's where the story gets really interesting. Because this pastor that Francis Chan had met shared how over that next year, every single one of those missionaries, every single one of them that had been captured and returned, came to that pastor. And every single one talked about how they wished that they could go back to the prison. Because they had never felt as close to God as they did in that time. Now, when we hear that, it just sounds crazy to us, right? But it's a reminder that God desires to meet us in some of our worst suffering. These missionaries trusted God in one of the most difficult times of their lives. And because of that, God met them in their suffering and it brought them closer to Him. I know it's hard for us to trust God in the midst of suffering. But when we do, it will bring us closer to Him. And I believe all of us desire that. And then the final truth I want to share this morning is this. Trusting God in the midst of suffering does bring the hope of restoration. In Job 42:10, it says this, "After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before." In the end, God restored Job's life. Job continued to trust God in the midst of his sufferings, in the midst of the challenges, in the midst of the difficulties. And when all was said and done, he experienced God's restoration. If you remember earlier, I said I'd finish the story of the little boy's broken gift. It says this as I continue, "After cradling her son and sharing with him in his pain, he finally stopped crying. 'Now,' said the mother, 'let's go home and see what can be made with what's left of your gift.' And so with a little bit of mom's magic and a handy glue gun, they crafted together from the broken pieces a multicolored butterfly. Amazingly, the artwork after the tragedy was actually much more beautiful than what it had been before its broken state. At Christmas, the gift was finally given, and as long as he taught at Harvard, that professor kept that butterfly on his desk. It was a constant reminder that grief is real and that loss is painful, but it was also a reminder that from great loss, great beauty can emerge, and that even in the midst of pain and brokenness, restoration can be found." We serve a God who is most definitely in control. And His desire is to draw us closer to Him so that He can ultimately bring restoration to our lives. After all, that's what this is all about. The hard part is we don't know when that restoration is going to take place, and it's never the same for any of us. Again, that's one of those realities that doesn't make sense to us. Why isn't he suffering here? Why am I suffering there? And why can't I have that life? It's one of those things that doesn't make sense to us. But if we continue to seek the Lord and trust Him with our lives, God will help us through the pain and the suffering. And that restoration will come. And that's the hope that helps us continue in the midst of pain and suffering. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You that You are a God that loves us dearly. That, Lord, even though we live in a fallen, broken world, even though we experience pain and suffering, we can trust in You because, Lord, You are with us through it all. And Your desire is to draw us closer to You. Your desire is to ultimately bring restoration to our lives. And Lord, I pray that everyone listening today, that our heart and desire would be to experience that restoration. I pray that our heart and desire would be to trust You with our lives, Lord. To trust in You even in the midst of the struggles and the challenges and the pain that we face. And so, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the encouragement that we can receive here from Job and the restoration that You brought to his life, Lord. How You met him in the midst of his suffering. And so, Lord, we pray that You do the same for all of us as we put our trust and our hope in You. We thank You for these things. We just pray Your blessing upon this Word. May it speak to each of us where we're at. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.